Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
A few weeks ago, I was watching a missions conference live online when an expert in the world's population and growth in various countries and geographical areas stood and addressed the conference, and he made this statement. He said, "It is my considered opinion that 100 people every minute on this planet die and go to hell." Do you know that there is a gift that God has given to the body of Christ to meet man's greatest need? Do you know what man's greatest need is? To be saved from his sins, and the gift God has given to the body of Christ to help with that need is the gift of evangelism. The gift of the evangelist is one of the more prominent and public gifts in the church, and I'd like to give you a definition of this gift if I can. Very simple, it is the God-given ability to proclaim the gospel to lost people, thus seeing them come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Before we dive into the outline, let me just repeat that in case you're writing this definition down. It is the God-given ability to proclaim the good news of the gospel to lost people, thus seeing them come to faith in Christ. Before we dive into the outline, let me mention two things. Here's the first one. Not every Christian has the gift of evangelism. I don't. But every Christian ought to be sharing their faith. God called all of us to witness in our own way to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. My gift is the gift of pastoring and teaching. My responsibility is to feed the sheep and to study and to share the word, but I am still called upon, even though I don't have the gift of evangelism, to share my faith. And I endeavored to do that, and so should you. The second thing I want to mention today is we're going to study the office of the evangelist mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But do you know that there are people who are not ordained ministers who are gifted with evangelism? See, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about that gift, but there are men and women who were lay people, laymen and laywomen, who have the gift of evangelism too. You'll know them because we have some in this church who are not ordained. They don't have REV in front of their name, but they have a passion to share their faith on a consistent basis. Today we are looking at the office of the evangelist. And so let me begin by talking to you about their call to the ministry. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, God has called prophets. We'll talk about that gift down the road. Apostles, we'll talk about that gift down the road. God has called pastors and teachers, but He's also called men to be evangelists. It is the office I am referring to today. Now, I know men who've been called to be evangelists. And sometimes these men have come off the road and they have pastored churches, and they've been miserable doing it. One of the reasons they're miserable being a pastor is because God has commissioned them to be out here in the highways and in the hedges sharing the good news of the gospel. They've got a great passion for the lost. You see, my great passion today is for the sheep. I love lost people. I want to witness to lost people. I have led lost people to faith in Christ. But the evangelist has a fire shut up in his bones. He cannot rest. He eats and he sleeps and he drinks witnessing and preaching. I want you to listen, if you would, to his passion. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that is to preach the gospel. And here is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says it is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to the word evangelism. It is made up of two Greek words. If you were to read the word evangelism, you'd see another word contained in the word. It is the word angel, A-N-G-E-L. The preface of that word is the Greek word ou, E-U, pronounced in English, E-V. Ou is good. The word angel in the Greek language means messenger. An angel is a messenger of God. An evangelist is someone who preaches good news or who preaches a good message. Join me, not a lot of scripture today, but I want you to see this one. Romans chapter 10. Would you go over there for a moment? Romans 10. And let me show you what Paul said about the evangelist. He said, evangelists have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bear the good news of the gospel. Romans 10, look at verse number 15. Verse 14 says this. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have never believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Listen to what this word meant in the Greek language. It's a military term. The feet of those who bring good news was a reference back in the day of Paul for an army having gone out and conquered another nation or city, and they would always send a messenger. They called him, listen to this, in the Greek language, an evangelist. One who brought a message from the battlefield. This man, the herald, would run ahead of the victorious army back home, back to the city, and he would share the good news that the army had been victorious in battle and that the war was over and we won. That was his message to the people back home. His feet were beautiful because he brought glad tidings of peace. He brought a message of victory. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord Jesus has defeated the enemy. We are victorious. Not only has the battle been won, but the war has been won. I've read the last chapter of the book, and guess what? We win. Amen? And so the evangelist is someone who brings good news that Christ is Lord, and He is victorious, and Satan is defeated. Now, who are these evangelists we're talking about, this gift to the local church? Well, the best known one, without any question, is Billy Graham. When you think of evangelists, he would probably spring to mind first. But did you know right here in our Southern Baptist Convention, we have hundreds and hundreds of vocational evangelists? They go from town to town, city to city. They preach in churches and tent meetings and citywide crusades. Maybe you remember back to 1993 when our South Fork Association banded together and we had Jay Strack here at the Lincolnton High School Stadium. Jay Strack is a vocational evangelist. Men like him don't stay in one place like we pastors. I'm hunkered down here. Because you are my responsibility. God has gifted me with you. And you are under my ministry responsibility. I'm here. I don't travel very much because my job is to preach to you. But the evangelist is going from town to town, city to city, just like Paul, who had the gift of evangelism. And he didn't stay in one place long. He was going all over Asia Minor and Greece preaching the good news. So there's the call to the ministry. Secondly, let me give you some characteristics of the messenger, this angel called the evangelist. Number one, first and foremost, he's going to have a deep burden for the lost. You can always pick out an evangelist, whether they're a layman or an ordained minister holding the office of the evangelist because they've got a deep passion for lost people. In fact, may I share with you that passion borders on an obsession. The evangelist, like Paul, who said in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, "My heart's desire, brethren, is for Israel to be saved." He said, "I'm weeping day and night for their soul." The evangelist has a passion for the lost. He loses sleep over it. It's that all-consuming obsession. They're constantly witnessing, sharing the good news of Christ with tracts and sharing verbally with people they know and love and neighbors and friends. The gift of evangelism is in operation in this church and throughout the entire body of Christ. And here's what God does for someone with the gift of evangelism. You cannot say this about everyone, because not everyone has this gift. But God literally transfers His burden for the lost to the heart of the evangelist. Secondly, the evangelist will not only have a deep burden for the lost, but he's going to be a dynamic preacher. You will never hear a boring evangelist. They just don't exist. Now, you've heard, I'm sure, of boring pastors out here. I hope yours isn't one of them. Please save that comment for later or never if you want to respond to that. But you'll never hear a boring evangelist. Yes, there's boring pastors out there. All of you have heard of the little boy who went to church with his mother one Sunday morning, and the pastor was just so boring and monotonous, and he droned on and on and on. And that little boy looked up on the platform. He saw two flags. He said, "Mommy, what are those two flags?" She said, "Well, one's the American flag, and the other is in honor of all those who died in the service." He said, "Mommy, which service did they die in, the morning service or the evening service?" They will teach you in seminary, in preaching class, the 11th commandment. You know what it is? Thou shalt not be boring. But I'm going to tell you, when you hear an evangelist, you're not going to hear someone who is boring, because they're preaching to lost people. And they've got to be able to hold the attention of that lost person. They've got to be dynamic in order to grab their attention and keep it. Billy Graham in his prom was one of the most dynamic preachers you'll ever hear. If you were there to hear Jay Strack back in 93, you remember what a dynamic preacher he was. How many of you remember back in the early 70s, I was still in high school, James Robison came to town? Raise your hand if you remember. Some of you might have even been saved under his preaching at the stadium. What a dynamic preacher he was. Well, God gifts evangelists with the ability to be dynamic, because they've got to be able to hold the attention of lost people, and that's a real challenge. It's hard enough to hold the attention of Christians when you're preaching, let alone lost people. But there's a third thing you'll always be able to tell a vocational evangelist by: their preaching tends to bring results. We've all seen Billy Graham, whether in person or on television, preaching the gospel, and at the end the invitation is given and hundreds of people stream down out of the stadium seats or out of the Colosseum seats to come forward to give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Now, even Billy Graham has admitted many times that not everybody who walks forward at one of his crusades really becomes a Christian, but you've seen the results his preaching brings, because God has anointed the message of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. We had over 550 decisions in 93 when Jay Strack was here. I sit there and listen to him preach, and he stood there and he preached the gospel, and the Spirit of God moved, and results were born out of the preaching of the good news of Christ. God anoints the gospel and the message of evangelists all over this world. But there's a third thing I want you to see about this wonderful gift. Not only they're called to the ministry, and maybe some of you were saved under the preaching of an evangelist. Not only they're called to the ministry and the characteristics of the messenger, but let me talk to you in closing about the content of the message. What a gift this is to the church. First of all, it's a message of simplicity. You'll never hear an evangelist who's a deep preacher. Most evangelists are not even considered theologians. I don't want to rock your world here, but Billy Graham is not a theologian. He is not a deep writer. My library is filled with books by theologians. Billy Graham can be detected as an evangelist because his preaching is not deep. It is simplistic. When an evangelist stands, whatever venue he may be in, he's going to be preaching to lost people who don't know Job from James. And so they're going to need to hear the message in their own kind of language. And that's how Billy Graham brings the message, or any evangelist. You're never going to hear an evangelist like Billy Graham stand in front of hundreds or thousands and make a statement like this: "The soteriological ramifications of the vicarious atonement of Christ have efficacious and propitiatory meaning for all of mankind." You may hear a pastor or a teacher use that kind of language. Here's how Billy Graham would translate that long, convoluted sentence: "Jesus died for sinners." That's how an evangelist shares the message, very simplistically. Pastors enjoy going deep. We enjoy launching out into deeper water using the Hebrew and the Greek language. Our job is to feed you. That's why you're rarely going to hear me preach evangelistic sermons here at Boger City Baptist Church. That isn't my gift. Every Sunday morning we give an invitation for people to be saved and receive Christ. But my calling is to grow the sheep. And so you'll know an evangelist when you hear him preach, because you don't have to go home and get a dictionary to figure out what he said. It's going to be simplistic. Jesus preached simplistically. He used agrarian illustrations. He used illustrations about the birds and about flowers and the fields and the harvest to get the attention of those who didn't know him. And so thus the evangelist will use that kind of simplicity as well. It is not only a message of simplicity, it is a message of salvation. Let me tell you what the motto is of any God-called evangelist. Here it is. They will tell you the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is telling lost people how to be saved. Here is the common thread that runs through every evangelistic sermon. They never deviate, they never waver, they never run rabbit trails. The evangelist has a passion for the lost. And so here's going to be the common thread. Number one, all men and women are sinners. Number two, Jesus, the Son of God, died for sinners. Number three, by putting your trust in Him, your sins can be forgiven and you can go to heaven. The main thing, to keep the main thing, the main thing. Evangelists have a passion for the lost. They ask General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, one day, "General Booth, how much education should a God-called evangelist have?" Booth thought about it for a moment and he said, "If he could just descend into the underworld and gaze into the horrors of an eternal hell for 5 minutes, that would be all the education that he would need." Thank God for the gift of the evangelist. Bow your heads for just a moment. Can I ask you this question with your heads bowed, coming from the heart of a pastor who now will give an invitation to you? My job is to teach the Word and to grow Christians, but at this very moment, in this holy hour, do you know if you're saved? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ? We saw four people come through the waters of baptism today who've already made that decision. Do you know that if you died today, you're certain you'd go to heaven? This invitation is for you. I'll be standing at the front. If you would like to come and inquire more about Christ, we won't embarrass you. If you'd like to know more about Jesus and what He offers you in the way of eternal life, we would be happy, delighted, thrilled to take you to a private area and sit down with you and show you from God's Word how you can be sure you're going to heaven. This church is open today for your membership. This altar is open for prayer. Father, thank you for the gift of evangelism. Thank you that there are people on the pews of this church today who are members of your forever family because somebody with that gift reached them, shared the good news, and they responded. I take a moment right now and I pray for evangelists all over this world, here in America, abroad. Would you fill them with your grace and your strength as they keep the main thing the main thing? They never waver from the cross. They never waver from the message of salvation. Bless them, we pray, and bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we sing.